Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Nobody said it would be easy. Nobody said that it would all be fine. But to get where we're going, brother, you gotta hold the line. It ain't a matter if.
Nice. Hey, was anyone on Twitter this morning?
I was.
You were on Twitter, Sue?
Yeah, I was.
Fred, were you on Twitter this morning?
I looked at it.
Yeah, you probably missed the this little scoop. Did you see the fact that every damn person on Twitter, how many people do you think are on Twitter?
11.
Hundreds of millions of people?
Yeah,
it seemed
know.
Like every one of them was tweeting about how Jack Dorsey was leaving Twitter. The funny thing about that is
he's doing what?
Well, I know. What's funny is that you know, I know that everybody loves to do this, like when a celebrity dies. Okay, after about the first 10 minutes or so, everybody knows that. You don't need to keep telling everyone because we follow enough news sources that you're not going to scoop those other sources.
All right?
So you don't have to tell us everything. We already know it. But I thought it was funny because I always think things that I do are funny, Sue, of course. But I did.
Yes.
I did tweet out. I said, because that's all I was seeing on my feed. Like, for an hour and a half to it. I said, it's a little unclear to me based on my feed. Is Jack Dorsey stepping down as Twitter CEO? And there's like one guy, Bryce, who responds. Everybody else gets it. Bryce shares Jack's tweet with his letter. And I said, might want to Google the term sarcasm. Just a thought. Now, Bryce's response was, might want to do sarcasm better, just a thought. No, Bryce, you were the only one. I just got to say, if you're listening this afternoon, you were the only one that didn't get it. But Ian Scheer from CNET is with us this afternoon. Can you confirm that Jack Dorsey, St. Louis native, and his mom and dad, they used to be fans of the show, I don't know about anymore, he's leaving Twitter?
He's got more time to call his mom. Yeah, no, that's exactly what's happening, is that he has he's stepped down as the CEO effective today. And in fact, he will be leaving the company altogether and its board by May-ish. That's the technical time period that he gave us next year. So he is effectively done with Twitter, which is incredible considering he was there in the beginning.
Now, a couple questions. That's one of them. But also, didn't something along these lines where he had stepped down at least temporarily from Twitter happen previously? Or am I imagining that?
Yeah, he was actually the founding CEO in a way. And what's interesting is that he got kicked out of the job for reportedly, I wasn't covering the company at the time, but reportedly not being at the company enough. He's very well known for all of these other things he does in the tech world, including, you know, he's into cryptocurrency and yoga and all these types of other things. And so
well, he's not into shaving, I'll tell you that. I can confirm that.
That's true.
Every picture of him today looks like the Unabomber.
Or David Letterman.
Yeah, well, he is into fashion, though. That guy, I think he was on the board of J. Crew for a while. So anyway, very clearly, you know, he's had a mixed relationship with Twitter. But, you know, Silicon Valley loves founders who leave and come back and all of this type of stuff, right? The Steve Jobs idea here. But it's clear that Twitter is trying to figure out what it's going to become next. And we've seen a trend now of a lot of founders stepping away. Microsoft, Google, Apple, now Twitter, they're all run by people who have been at the company for a long time but were not there at the beginning.
So, and by the way, when Dorsey sent this out, he tweeted it out, and he said, my one wish for Twitter, this was in his PS, I'm tweeting this email, my one wish for Twitter, Inc. is to be the most transparent company in the world. And then he said, hi, Mom. So he did say hi to Marcia Dorsey, who is here in St. Louis. His mom and dad are. But why is this the right time? And then what can you tell us about Parag, the new CEO?
Yeah, so why this is the right time is unclear. He did say that there is that conversation about the founder syndrome, right, and whether or not founders should stick around their companies. And clearly that's a slight dig at Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook or Meta or whatever you want to call it, and that whole conversation, right, a lot of the how much power should one man have type of stuff. What we do know about his now replacement, right, Parag Agrawal is his name. I hope I'm saying that correctly. He's actually been at the company for a decade. He's considered a very close friend of Jack Dorsey. So it's not like someone's coming in and going to completely change the company. If anything, he might bring on his own twist, just like Tim Cook did at Apple or Satya Nadella over at Microsoft. But he's still, you know, that company is still going to likely run the same way tomorrow as it did today.
For those people here in St. Louis concerned about Jack's future, is there a GoFundMe or anything that's started? I mean, he's gonna need some help.
Well, you don't mention GoFundMe to Jack Dorsey. He also runs this other company called Square.
Yes, well, that's
right?
True.
So, yeah. So he's very clearly still going to have plenty to do on his hands. And there's also, he's been talking a lot about cryptocurrency lately. I would not be shocked if he started dipping his toes even further into that.
Well, it seemed like I actually sent Fred an email today, and I said, because I'm watching football a lot over the weekend. Dave, you're probably noticing this too, and I think it's happening outside of football. But not only do you have Tom Brady and a couple others with the crypto, I see Matt Damon. Everyone's talking about crypto, and no one still understands crypto, which I think is fascinating.
That is 100% true, right?
Yep.
Well, and if you want a real crazy thing, we have a great story on CNET about the attempts to buy a copy of the Constitution using crypto technology, which turned into such a mess. Right, there's a copy out there that went for tens of millions of dollars, but at one point, people on the crypto world thought, ooh, if we bring all of our money together, we can buy it. And it turned into one of the biggest messes I've seen on the internet in quite a while.
We covered that, Sue's news.
Would that be an NFT? Is that what that would be? Is that an example of that or not?
No, they were throwing it all
together. No, actually, it isn't. It's mostly an example of people being silly.
Sorry, Dave.
Sorry, Dave, you tried. No, it's okay. It's a Monday. I had no idea. I'm just glad that he asked the question because I had no idea. Thank you, Ian. I appreciate all the details. Big story.
Thanks for having me.
St. Louis. Yeah, we do appreciate that. Dave, I didn't know. I was just teasing you. I had no idea.
I still don't get it.
NFT.
I'm trying to.
Oh, my gosh. How did I end up? I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination, but that would be, in this case, they were all pooling their cryptocurrency to try to buy this Constitution.
Okay.
Rather than having one copy with one owner that only that one owner could get to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it still doesn't
make any
sense. That
makes a little bit more sense.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, today is the last day you can eat your Thanksgiving leftovers, according to the USDA.
Oh, that's a bunch of bunk. What are you talking about?
Turkey, stuffing, potatoes, yams, pumpkin pie, etc. Really only good for 4 days in the fridge. Now, according to the USDA, you have to eat them today. If you don't, you should freeze them and thaw them at a later time. Fred, do you have leftovers to eat still?
We do not. You know, we had it at our house. And my wife likes to give away everything at the end. And I'm like, hey, save a little bit.
Right. That's
right.
The worst.
That's
right. It is.
I'm right there with you. Do you have any?
We don't. It's funny you mentioned that, though, because Heidi Harris, who filled in for Annie today, told a story about a woman who went to a Thanksgiving meal. And at the end of the meal, she had like a backpack full of empty containers and was helping herself to the leftovers. Yes.
I got to give her points for that.
Yeah.
Points for trying, for sure.
That's amazing.
We ate leftovers on a Saturday evening, like the full leftovers, and the only thing I kept from that, well, first of all, then we turned the turkey, because we had a 21-pound turkey, into white chili, which Becky Hodgepodge, the restaurant, it was delicious, but we got rid of everything except I really had a difficult time on Saturday parting with the sweet potatoes. So the sweet potatoes are still in the fridge. fridge. Love them. Might still have to work a way to get those in tonight. I mean, I still have today till midnight.
Yeah, you got till midnight. All right. Just think about it. It's also Cyber Monday, and a new poll finds that 1 in 5 people under the age of 45 will do not just a little bit, but most of their holiday shopping today. Dave, that's
assuming,
you.
Assuming you can get it on time.
Mm-hmm. That's true, too.
I've done some today already.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Have you done most of it online, or will you do most of it today?
Yeah, before Cyber Monday, because really they all just kind of blend together, and
so
you kind of get the same deals. And really, they'll tell you a week in advance, like, hey, hold out for this, because on Cyber Monday, you're going to get even more of a deal.
Oh, that makes sense. Now, 1 in 11 people over 45 say the same. And whether it's today or not, 91% of us will buy at least some of our gifts online. How long do you procrastinate, Mark Reardon?
Well, typically I procrastinate quite a bit, but I told Santa that we should start pulling the trigger now for anything for the little girl, right?
Well, that's a good plan, yes.
So Santa's going to hit up the Walgreens aisle.
I've seen a couple of charges come through on the Southwest card today from Santa.
Good. So Santa's
but
at least
I think it's wise to do everything way ahead of time. Unless you think the excuse about the supply chain is going to work on Christmas morning, you bet. But I also think that some things are going to be plentiful here in a few weeks, but you just don't know.
You know what's great? I think part of the ease of online stuff is that my brother lives in Houston. It's so much easier. I just send it through Amazon. It gets there. I don't have to wrap. I don't have to go and stand in line at the post office, you understand.
And I think a lot of the stores have kind of understood the deal with the supply chain issues, where they will give you more of a more time to return your items after the holidays. You know, usually it's like 30 days or so.
Oh, they're giving more?
Yeah, they're giving you more time. A lot of places are.
And does it feel like to you that those trucks are always coming to your door?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But they're always there.
Yes.
Ooh, boy, that's true.
It's almost like every neighborhood, because at least for the UPS guy in my neighborhood, it's the same guy all the time, right? So they probably have little territories, but it's almost every day that you see it.
Yeah. And then I get excited, and it turns out it's for the neighbors. You know how that goes.
I just open it anyway. Who cares?
I did get a package from my neighbors that we walked down. You have to really check. Foot traffic was down in the U.S. on Black Friday at retail stores. It was down 29% from 2019, but up 47.5% over last year.
Well,
right?
Duh.
I mean,
right.
Numbers show that shopper Black Friday numbers were nearest the 2019 levels in the South, then the Midwest, then the West, and then finally the Northeast. Apparently, the South and the Midwest will just go right in there. Okay. Musical theater composer lyricist Stephen Sondheim passed away on Friday. That's how unplugged I was. I didn't know until this morning.
Oh,
did you all know?
I saw a little Twitter activity about that over the weekend, yes. Mm-hmm.
And the breaking Jack Dorsey news.
He was 91 years old. Sondheim won 8 Tonys, 8 Grammys, a Pulitzer, and an Oscar. And we actually have a little bit from him. You may know him as the man behind Sweeney Todd, Into the Woods, and this song from West Side Story. He was the lyricist. Isn't that incredible?
For a while, it seemed like his name was on
everything.
Years ago, decades ago, right?
Because I don't think of him as West Side Story. Well, he wasn't the composer. That was Bernstein. He was the lyricist. And he also wrote that song, Send in the Clowns, that Judy Collins did, that they played over and over. I feel like they played that over and over again. It drove me nuts.
What a sad song.
It was a sad, but he wrote that. So a goodbye to Stephen Sondheim.
So I have a quick correction from a listener.
Oh, yes, please.
This is actually from an African-American listener who said, tell Sue it's officially called Friday of Color Equity.
Is it? Yeah, oh, yes. Thank you so much.
No, he mocks that stuff, too, but he wanted me to share it.
You know it's about ink color, right? Yeah. In the black and the red.
Yes.
Okay, just checking. And Tiffany & Company has just revealed its most expensive piece of jewelry in history. Now, this was at a high-end jewelry show in Dubai. None of us was there. I know that's
no.
A,
I missed my
prize. Yeah. Tiffany unveiled a reimagined version of an archival piece. It is the 1939 World's Fair necklace, featuring the 80-carat Empire diamond in the center. Now, it can be worn as a necklace or a ring. If you buy it, you would get lifetime service. In other words, you would call and say, yeah, I'm tired of it as a necklace. Can you make it into a ring? And they would send over a Tiffany jeweler immediately to make it into a ring and then back into a necklace.
Well, I'd hope so for what you're paying for it.
Well, they haven't even put a price tag on it because they think it's so expensive. The estimates were at least 22 million pounds, and I'd have to do the math.
How much crypto, though?
22 million pounds?
22 million pounds-ish.
Let me convert this.
Okay, thank you. It's so expensive, they haven't really put a price on it. The actual largest one, it's only second in size to one other Tiffany diamond, which is 128.5 carats, which isn't for sale and is considered priceless. How much, Dave?
$29,284,000.
I think that's low. It's a little gaudy. I know that's a surprise to everyone as well. It's just enormous. I just don't know if that's... where could you wear it? You'd have to be insured everywhere you go.
I think I'd basically sit at home, and then every other week I would call them and say, I want a necklace. Changed my mind. Let's do a ring this week.
Ugh, it's rare. Nick.
You would be that guy.
Why not?
Send him out there. And finally in Sue's news, today's random fact. Those tiny sugar ball sprinkles that we put on everything in the holidays are actually called, quote, hundreds and thousands in Australia and the UK. Instead of sprinkles, hundreds and thousands.
Wow.
That's a little wordy.
Is that right? Why? Now, we did not delve into that, Sue's News.
There you go. All right. Wrapping up a Monday edition of Sue's News. Rafer Weigel is coming up. He is now the president of Weigel Media Group. He was great with us for a long time, a few years ago, when all the Jussie Smollett nonsense went on. He's going to trial, which is very confusing to me. Rafer's going to try to maybe set us straight coming up. Cusumano later this hour. Cardinals picked up a new pitcher today officially, Steven Matz. We'll have details on that. And some Mizzou news, SLU soccer, and more coming up at 4:45 at 97.1 FM Talk.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, I'm so glad that our friend Jussie Smollett is going to be back in the news this week. You might remember Jussie Smollett.
Now to that attack on a star of the TV show Empire. Jussie Smollett, who is also a prominent advocate for civil rights and gay rights, was beaten, he says, by men hurling homophobic and racial slurs.
Breaking news in the case in what police are calling a possible hate crime.
Investigating a possible hate crime against actor Jesse Smollett. He claims he was attacked on a Chicago street by two men who wrapped a rope around his neck.
Yep, it was a hate crime. Two giant African-American dudes wearing MAGA hats. That's exactly what happened.
I heard Empire. So I turned around and I said, did you just say to me? And I see the attacker masked. And he said, this MAGA country punches me right in the face. So I punched his ass back. And then we started tussling. There was a second person involved who was kicking me in my back. Then I look down and I see that there's a rope around my neck.
Mm-hmm. Those would be the Alessandro brothers. And if you really think back, maybe Rafer Weigel, who's with me this afternoon, the president of Weigel Media Group, former Fox News Chicago anchor, was with us when all this happened a few years ago. I think if you go back and you check the videos of the Trump rallies, the Alessandro brothers were at most of them, weren't they, Rafer? Can you confirm that?
I can confirm they had trouble finding MAGA hats in downtown Chicago.
Yeah.
That was a
Well, first of all, thanks for coming. I got to tell you something. I'm so confused. Why is this going to trial? What am I missing here? I feel like there's a component. The only thing I can think is that his only way out of this is to become a victim, more of a victim. And if they find him guilty, then he's more of a victim.
Well, they only expect the trial to last a couple of weeks. So I don't know. Maybe that keeps the price tag down. He's looking at six counts, but they're basically misdemeanors, you know, for lying on a police report. The thing where he could really get into trouble is if he perjures himself on the stand. And from what I'm hearing is he wants to testify, but his lawyers are like, no bleeping way. Because that will get you prison time. If you go up on that stand and the judge, Judge Lynn, thinks he's lying, you know, then he's in a real he's in a lot of trouble at that point. So the conventional thinking is they won't put him on the stand. The two brothers, though, they will testify, and I spoke to him. Actually, I saw him a couple weeks ago. We were shooting they're doing a documentary on the Jesse Smollett case that it's being directed by Marlon Wayans, and he's making it into a comedy. So that should give you an idea on the sentiment of this story.
I'm just curious about that. What's Marlon Wayans' take on that? Is
he thinks it's a joke. I mean, he takes the Dave Chappelle position of like, you know, this guy, you know, I mean, he thinks the whole thing is hilarious. And the brothers gave a really detailed, you know, just went into real detail, the story about when Smollett met them in the car, what he said. And they corroborate each other's stories, and you know, I think it's not going to be a good look for Smollett. Fortunately for him, they don't allow cameras in the courtroom. So I mean, it's really just about honestly, this is more of like theater, and that's the way Chicago does things. You know, a lot of it is just theater, and not really for the good of the people.
What is his? You covered this story when you were in Chicago. You were nice enough a few months ago. We had the brother's attorney. You came on with her talking about some of the things that were happening, you know, in the background of this case. What is his defense going to be?
What is his what going to be?
What is his defense going to be? Do you have any idea? Is there one?
His dissent?
What tact will the defense take in this, in other words?
Oh, I see. They're going to take the tactic that he was telling the truth. That, I mean, that's the thing. I don't think this is going to be a good look for him because, you know, they're basically saying these two brothers just jumped him on their own, unprovoked, and nothing was arranged, and they disguised themselves as white people, and he had no clue who they were, and that they did this for a publicity stunt. It's not going to be very believable. I mean, this is not going to, I think this is going to be an embarrassing couple of weeks for him. They're having a lot of trouble finding the jury. I know today they've been talking to people. They said they plan to be there until about 7 or 8 o'clock tonight. And the judge has been asking people, like, have you ever seen TMZ? And they're like, yeah, well, you're gone. Yeah.
Right. You know? Well, do we or do we not have video? The cops have video showing Smollett in a Lowe's store with the noose that he said was hung around his neck. I mean, I just don't understand. This is why I'm confused, Rafer, because everything we know about this case, everything that you know about this case, everything the brothers have said, they indicate nothing that would lead to the possibility of a not guilty verdict for Jussie Smollett. But they keep rolling forward, I guess, because they feel this is another theory, maybe based on what we saw with the Rittenhouse trial. You know, most maybe they think that most of America is on his side and they believe his narrative.
You're talking about Jussie Smollett? Yeah. Nobody believes Jussie Smollett's narrative. No, Mark. No,
well, but Rafer, that's why. Are you not confused as far as why this is even going to trial? It doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't.
And, well, it doesn't make any sense because it's, again, it's the Chicago Chicago court system. You think America's court system's jacked up. Chicago's is even worse. I mean, there are countless cases going unsolved. There are countless people that are being convicted or found guilty, and then they're given a slap on the wrist. Or their cases are just thrown out. In the meanwhile, we're going to spend 2 weeks on this, trying to tack on six misdemeanors to a guy who clearly was doing this as a cry for help. You know, I mean, that's really what it is. This is about saving face, I think, more than anything else. I think that this is more about the personal struggles going on between the Chicago police and State Attorney Kim Fox, who keeps letting bad guys back out on the street. People who've been caught on video setting police cars on fire go into and State Attorney's office goes, yeah, we're going to just let him off with a warning. I mean, so the police are, there's a real morale issue up there, and they're thinking, why are we even putting people behind bars?
You know what? This is it is a joke. You know, I'm glad that Marlon Wayans is treating it as a joke, because when you think about everything that you just said about the crime situation, we can certainly relate with that here in St. Louis. To have this guy waste the time of prosecutors and a judge and everyone when there are real serious crime stories going on in that city is more of an embarrassment. But we'll see what happens along the way. It's too bad there's not cameras in the courtroom though on this one, right?
Right.
So we won't.
There'll
be
sketch artists.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we're going to see sketches. So those are going to be the NFTs for sale online that people will be buying.
All right, Rafer Weigel, I appreciate coming on here this afternoon and giving us the update. Thank you.
You got it, buddy.
All right, take care. So I was telling you before Rafer joined us, you know, I grew up before I moved here in 1979. I was 14 years old. There was a very, very famous sports anchor in Chicago, a television sports anchor named Tim Weigel, and he did this thing called Weigel's Wieners, which was sort of, you know, like Zipper Zeppa did something.
Sure.
Dave Klein was talking about that back in the day. But
the Zippo Awards.
Yeah, the Zippo Awards. So Weigel's Wieners were whatever goofy thing happened in sports the week before. And he was a huge presence on ABC television, WLS TV. And it was funny because then when he came here to St. Louis, when Rafer came here to work at Fox, I thought, man, that name certainly
sounds familiar.
Sounds familiar. In fact, it was. So we've gotten to know each other just a little bit. Let me get into this just a little bit more because you followed this case, right?
Oh, it's insanity.
But again, do you understand my confusion about
yes.
why it's even here? Here's
yes.
all the things he said with Robin Roberts on ABC. He says, oh, I wouldn't lie about that.
I'm an advocate. I respect too much the people who I am now one of those people who have been attacked in any way. You do such a disservice when you lie about things like this.
I mean, you have to be pretty delusional
wow.
to know about everything that happened and to keep saying things like that over and over that other people are lying. So what are they going to do here? This is a DA on Fox, Joanna Spielberg, talking about how maybe they'll defend this.
Look what he did. This takes hoax to a whole other level because he based his hoax on a country that was divided. He based it on race. He based it on homophobia. This isn't a case where you have a runaway bride or a balloon boy or somebody who committed those kinds of hoax for their own personal gain. He was using the country to get what? A step up in his career? Then he goes on national television and doubles down and lies about his lie?
The other thing that's important about that, I just want to cut in, because the mainstream media helped him in those lies.
For sure.
Because here again, this is a perfect example. I don't know how many examples we need. We got a lot of them where the media simply did not do its job from the beginning. Then they sort of had to. I mean, once this started to get sniffed out, then they're like, oh. But he goes on Robin Roberts in that ABC interview. She certainly could have asked tougher questions of Jussie Smollett. But here's a little bit more of Joanna.
If I were prosecuting him, I would play that video when it comes time for sentencing, because there seems to be a whole lot of evidence against Jussie Smollett. A paper trail, a money trail, the two brothers who are going to testify against him, the weirdness of when he was contacted by police and was walking around his apartment with the alleged noose around his neck. I mean, that was clue number one. So So I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for Jussie Smollett, and he better hope that whoever he picks in his jury does.
I don't know how anyone, you know, we've got issues with juries, and we've seen that. We've seen two examples here with what happened in Georgia and what happened in Kenosha of the jury system, the justice system working. I think it's going to work here as well. So I was surprised Rafer even said, will he take the stand? I would think he would not. Joanna Spielborn. Oh.
I almost think he might have to testify. I mean, what is his defense? His defense is, I didn't do nothing. His defense is that the brothers who are going to testify against him are lying. I mean, if that's the case, he's going to have to wait and see if the state has proven its case before he makes that decision, unless he's going to take the stand and say, hey, feel sorry for me. I really didn't have anything to do with it. They forced me into it. It wasn't me. It was them. That's still up in the air.
They're trying to pick the jury for this right now. I will say this because it is, there are a lot of things that confuse me, especially in this news cycle. Recently, I'm confused. There should be no reason why this is going to trial. So
no.
Oftentimes, as you know, the jury gets selected before it even goes to opening statements. There's a deal cut. That would have to have Jussie Smollett admit some sort of guilt. I'm
Mark,
still going to be shocked if this goes to trial.
I think he's incapable of admitting that he did it, and he's taken it so far
right.
that he can't
well,
he has to go through with it.
Here's
in
the
his
psychology,
brain.
I think, because I think it's almost like OJ in the sense that he's convinced himself that
yes.
it happened the way that he told the original story.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Bad news, Jussie. It did not go that way.
Yeah. A sinister.
This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Waiting on Cusimano to check in with us, but here's an interesting story, baseball related. First of all, the Cardinals, Dave, they made it official here with Steven Matz, who is the left-handed pitcher who will be on the Cardinals. Now, he's a starter, correct?
Yep. Four-year deal for him.
Yeah. I like what I see. Didn't really know him, didn't know his name, was with the Mets, right? But a good pickup, I think. But listen to this. This is what Jesse Rogers is just reporting here a short time ago on ESPN. Major League Baseball's expanded playoff proposal as part of a new collective bargaining agreement between owners and players includes the ability... I had to read this a couple of times.
I
know. Includes the ability for division winners to pick their wild card opponent, according to sources familiar with the negotiations. Now, again, this is nothing official. The format would call for 14 teams, 7 from each league, to make the playoffs. 4 more than currently play in the postseason. That seems excessive. Does it seem excessive to you?
So they want to have 7, and right now it's... Well, I guess if you 2 wild cards would be 5?
Okay, I'm not good at math, Dave.
Okay.
3 division winners in each league
yes.
would be joined by 4 wild card teams to make up the playoff field. Here's how it would work. I'm going to tell you how it's going to work. The team with the best record in each league would get a bye into the best of 5 division series. That would make sense, right? So
mm-hmm.
the Cardinals win the division. They have the best record, maybe, in the National League, and they get a bye into the best of 5 division series, sort of like football. NFL, if you're the number 1 seed, you do not have to play opening weekend.
Right.
You wait for the second weekend.
Right.
The remaining 2 division winners would get to pick their wild card opponent from the bottom 3 wild card teams. So if the Cardinals were number 1, then you have, let's say, the Braves and the Dodgers, right? Let's say that wouldn't be right. The Braves and what's the other division that I'm thinking of in the National League? Give me another division. Washington.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm just offering examples here. So let's say it's the Dodgers and the Nationals, right? The division winner with the second best record would pick first. Then the number 3 seed in the league would pick its opponent from the final 2 wildcard teams. So basically, they get to pick their wildcard team. So the second and third seeded teams would pick their wildcard opponent, basically. The wildcard team with the best record would play the wildcard team that wasn't picked by a division winner. Does any of that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Once matchups are set, the higher seeded teams would host all 3 games. That's interesting, right? So if you're in the wild card division or the wild card bracket, if you will, if you are the higher seed, you're not going back and forth. You're playing all those games at home. Winners in the wild card round would advance to the division series and the playoffs would continue as they have in the past. So everything else is sort of similar. The story on ESPN says one concern with the proposed format is the time off for the top seeds while the wildcard round proceeds. Hence, teams hosting all three wildcard games in consecutive days. Yeah, because if you're the number one seed, well, then you're just sort of sitting on the sidelines. You're not playing at all. Is that the best thing?
You know, I like it and I don't like it. I like it from the perspective of, as we've seen with the Cardinals in 06 and 2011, if you get in, anything can happen. And those teams proved it, and they won with pretty substandard records for, you know, great teams of the Cardinals past. I don't like it from the perspective of, it seems like in the NHL and NBA, you know, it seems like it's like half your teams make the playoffs.
So
I don't like that.
Here's the respect, because this has been, I guess, put out there a little bit with the internal forces, you know, the powers that be. Players contend it could disincentivize teams from spending and for pushing for more wins, knowing they might make the postseason with, say, 80 to 83 victories or less.
Yeah, absolutely.
True. The league believes the incentives for the top seeds, like having a bye or picking your opponent, will keep teams aggressive both in the winter and during the season. Plus, it opens the door for a perennial 75-win team to now push for around 80 wins to potentially make the postseason. So it gives those teams hope, in other words, right? Where fans don't have hope. Now, I'm not saying I like it. I'm just trying to explain it. An informal poll of executives at the GM meetings earlier this month revealed they were not thrilled with the idea of a televised event on the Sunday night before the playoffs begin where opponents would be chosen. It's ripe for second-guessing and perhaps even bulletin board material. Of course, the playoffs would be a windfall for the owners, the expanded playoffs, in terms of television and gate revenue, but they would also add over 100 players to the postseason spotlight where reputations are burnished. Players also get playoff shares for every round their team wins in October. So it's a win for those teams. It's a win for those players. It's a win for the fans of the teams that, you know, are sort of hovering but never can crack through, maybe like the Cincinnati Reds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but what we're up against here is that the CBA, this is what they're negotiating, the collective bargaining agreement, expires at midnight on, what is that? Is that Thursday or Friday? December 1st.
Yeah.
That might
Wednesday?
Be Wednesday. There
yes.
you go. It's Wednesday. I don't know. Mixed feelings. But what we're going to get, let's say everything that I just described to you does not happen. We're probably going to get something along those lines. Maybe not everything, but you're going to get expanded playoffs.
Yep.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I certainly understand having some incentive for teams. Otherwise, look, I lived in a city for many years that now they're contenders with Milwaukee, but they would just languish. You'd get to August, and everyone would just sort of give up, and you knew you had no future. If I guess, I suppose you could make the case there's a team out there that can stay competitive until September and still crack in and get to the playoffs. You never know what's going to happen. You get hot at the right time. We've seen that.
Sure.
We saw it this year. Mixed feelings. But this one's going to be analyzed and overanalyzed, and the purists out there. So the way I found out about this... Jennings and Joe Arnold.
Oh, I can't even imagine what they said about it.
Jennings, one of our go-to guys inside the Beltway. Of course, he worked for George W. Bush, Mitch McConnell. He's on with me all the time. Joe is down in Louisville, used to work in media. Joe Arnold's response was, "Why play the season?" That's how much he took
wow.
all this stuff. So I wanted to find out what Cusumano thought, but I think he's standing us up.
He texted me back, said he's out of town until Thursday, so he will join us again on Friday.
Okay. We might have been briefed about that if I would have known. One thing I want to get in here before the end of the hour is, and this might be cut of the day, but I'll put it in now anyway. Did you hear Mayor Pete today? You know, he's the transportation secretary. So there is a solution for, you know, getting out of this climate change mess. We only have a couple more years left, and then the planet's going to be gone.
Oh.
But you know what's going to help?
No.
Infrastructure, helping people pay for electric vehicles that they can't afford right now, because that's a smart thing.
There is more envisioned in the Build Back Better law. I'll give you one example. It contains incentives to make it more affordable to buy an electric vehicle, up to a $12,500 discount in effect for families thinking about getting an EV. Families that once they own that electric vehicle will never have to worry about gas prices again. The people who stand to benefit most from owning an EV are often rural residents who have the longest distances to drive. They burn the most gas. And underserved urban residents.
All right, so he's out of his mind. The average cost of an electric vehicle is about $55,000.
Oh,
right,
my
God. By the
gosh.
Way, there's no electric vehicle charging stations.
Nope.
You can't go from point A to point B without charging, baby.
Nope.
They're delusional.
Yes,
they really are. You're not living in reality, but I love it because I think it really says to normal Americans, what the hell did we put in Washington?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.